Exodus 14, I think we're right in there somewhere, doing Bible adventures with Moshe, Moses. And we have just come out of Egypt, crossed the sea, and the Egyptian army is all dead. So this is the birth of the nation of Israel in Exodus. And we left off with, I wanted to kind of go back and relive the moment and stand on that shore. The sun has just started coming up. It's starting to get light. And all of Israel is standing there free for the first moment in their lives. And they're looking at all these dead soldiers floating up on the bank. So it's just a moment of quiet. Just a moment. Dead soldiers everywhere. Israel standing on dry ground. And I thought there would be two things that might be going through the Israelis' minds as they look at this scene. Who is this God of ours? Who is this God? They look at each other and they look at the dead soldiers. And that would bring up the next question is, and who are we? Who are we? Because at this moment, first moment, we are no longer slaves. And this is really the birth of the nation. And what a moment that might be. So that's where we left off. And I just spent the whole week standing on that bank looking at dead soldiers, wondering, who is this awesome God, this God of Israel? And then, what does that make us as his people? I'll tell you, this is how redemptive history begins. So these same two questions that they may have been asking, we can ask ourselves. But where I want to pick up on that now is in these days especially, the world, all the nations, need to stand on that seashore and ask these questions. Who is this God of Israel? And who are these Israelites? These people of his, this firstborn son of Israel, or firstborn son of God, which he calls Israel. Who is Israel and who is this God of Israel? Who is this Jewish people? So the nations need to stand on that shore and look at all those dead soldiers and ask these questions. They needed to ask them then, and they needed to ask them through history, and they need to really ask them today. Who is this God of Israel? Who are these Jewish people? What is this nation of Israel today? Washington, D.C. needs to ask that question. They need to stand on that shore and look at the dead soldiers. The United Nations needs to stand on that shore and look at all those dead soldiers and then look at these Israelis standing on dry ground, not even wet, with a pillar of fire by them. Islam needs to stand on that shore And look at all these dead soldiers. And look at this pillar of fire. Maybe look at these Israelis. Who are these people? Who is this God of theirs? But maybe more important than all of them put together the church needs to stand on that shore and look at those dead soldiers and say, who is this people and who is their God? The church, the ones that should know the most, Shaul said that the Goyim church has been grafted in and become fellow citizens with this nation standing on that shore looking at the dead soldiers. Fellow citizens. So I'm going to throw something out here that you've never heard before. The church that is not attached to Israel is committing treason. Replacement theology is treason against the country the church has been grafted into. Preterist theology is treason. All millennialism, postmillennialism, treason. Treason against your country that you've been born into. Have you ever heard such a thing? Christians committing treason by being anti-Semitic. So if you deal with these two questions correctly, you'll be standing on dry ground with a pillar of fire with you. Answer them incorrectly and you might be floating face down in the sea. The wall of water having crashed down on you. So there was a separation that day. And today there is a separation going on. But soon there will be that great, the separation. That final separation. And in that day, soon, the context will be the same. Are you following this God of Israel? And are you supporting those people of Israel? The sheep and the goats, the separation. Who is standing with Israel? Who is this God of Israel? This is the question then that will be asked in these days. Everyone on earth will be asking them, because then they will see, every eye will see, Israel's King coming. The Holy One of Israel is his name, the one who has chosen Zion and is zealous for Zion. His people is the Jew and the Goyim that have been grafted in to Israel. So I mentioned that it might take eternity to answer the first question, who is this awesome God? Because that's probably an eternity of information. But the second question, who is this Israel? You all know the answer to that because you have been attached to this people of Israel. So in 14:31, the last verse of that chapter, and when the Israelites saw the great power of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moshe, his servant. So this great power displayed against the Egyptians will be repeated in these last days. And so we want to be those people that are already trusting in Hashem and in fear of him. So we sing the song of Moses, which is the next chapter here is the song of Moses. But chapter 14 ends with Moses, his servant. And that's important because Moshe is a type of Messiah, as we've been seeing clear through these adventures of Moshe. And Messiah is the servant of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the servant of the Lord, is one of his main titles throughout the Tanakh. And may I say then that you also, Moses was his servant, Yeshua is the servant of Hashem in that mode, and you are like Moshe here. You are servants, avodim of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. So we say, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. Hallelujah. He is highly exalted. He has become to me my salvation. In these first three verses of the Song of Moses, it's loaded. It says, he is my God. And we've been doing that around here. I keep saying to say this, Hashem is my God. Hashem is my God. I tell you, there's power in claiming God, not as God only, but claim God as your God. Hashem is my God. And this is the first part of the Song of Moses has this being stated. Isn't that cool? Every person ever born needs to be able to say that. My God, he is my God, Eli, my God. So is he your God, amen. And in verse 3 it says, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh is a warrior. Whoopee! Amen. And he is a warrior. All right. And when it says he is my salvation there, let me back up. He has become my salvation. You read that in Hebrew. He has become to me Yeshua. He has become to me Yeshua, salvation. Amen. And he's a warrior. In verse 6, it says, your right hand. And that's in the song three times. The right hand or the right arm. And you know from previous teachings here, what is the right hand of the Lord? Who is the right arm of the Lord? Is the servant of the Lord, Yeshua. It's not a separate Godhead person. It is the Father God's right hand is the Messiah. There's not two gods. Stop thinking that way. There is one God. We're not pagans here. There's one God. Yeshua is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Hashem. And we've had that teaching in here enough. Sorry if you're a Jehovah Witness. The Messiah is divine. He is God, and there is only one God. And the power of it is the Holy Spirit. All right. Then verse 11, it says, Mika Mocha. You ever know that song, Mika Mocha? I love that. And I call him Miko here, Mika Moko. But Mikael, the twin's name, is who is like God, the EL part. But Mika Mocha is who is like you. And so that's Mika Mocha. Who is like you? And the answer, of course, is no one, which my twin will call you means he is holy. Holy means there is no one like you. Separate, totally unique. No one can compare to you. And then there's the word glory there. And that was interesting because the word glory there is not kavod. Kavod is almost always the word for glory. But three times in your Bible, it is this word, adar. And adar, kavod, it has the connotation of weight, as you all know, weight, heaviness. But adar has the connotation of large. So you have large and heavy for glory words. And this is the large part, okay? Our God is big, right? And in verse 13, we have the word unfailing love or mercy there, which you all know is chesed. Chesed, the word that the chesedim, the Hesed's use there in Israel. Okay, verse 17. The song ends with a statement. And this is cool. You're going to love this. I got to move along here. Though we're in the birth of Israel. Oh, Lord God. I'm going to have to shoot the twin. This prophetic statement in the Song of Moses ends with this, with a certain place, which is the goal. I mean, the nation is five minutes old, and we have this certain place being prophesied here and this goal being prophesied, and it is the mountain of inheritance. And it's a place the Lord makes for his dwelling, and it is the sanctuary his hands prepared for him. What is going on here? We're still on the seashore with the dead soldiers floating on the side of Egypt there, and we're talking about an inheritance of a mountain and a dwelling place. What is this? You will bring them in. It's prophesying. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Lord, you have made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, Mikdosh in there in Hebrew. O Lord, your hands established. What is this? In the very birth of the nation, the end goal ends the song. We're talking about Yerushalayim. We're talking about this mountain right here, Moriah. We're talking about Temple Mount. We're talking about the temple. In the Song of Moses, 5 minutes into the nation's history. Hallelujah. The goal is there. Amen. And then so you got to love that, right? The Mikdosh. And verse 18 ends the song with the Lord will reign forever and ever. Where will he reign from? The sanctuary, the mount, the temple mount, Moriah, the place he has prepared for his hands. O Lord God, come quickly and may Israel rebuild the temple to welcome him with the Brook of Baal Hashem at Adonai, right? All right, verse 20, the famous song and dance by Miriam. And this is the origin of tambourines. No, boo, I hate tambourines. Who did that, mate? Who made that noise? Ushers, security. Why do no one? But she went out. Aaron's sister took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. Miriam sang to them, and we have a repeat of the first part of the song here. Sing to the Lord, he is highly exalted. The horse and rider, he is hurled into the sea. All right, so we have the famous song by Miriam and all the ladies, and that tambourine there, or timbrel, is a hard drum, and sometimes it had jingles on it. But it really was a drum also that you hit with a drumstick. Okay, so the nation begins here. Praise, worship, dancing is how the nation begins. And pretty soon, it's going to end the same way. Messiah is going to come, and there's going to be praise and worship and dancing, and you're going to be right in the middle of it. This is when you say, amen. And may it come quickly, Lord God. And you said, amen. Okay. All right. Goodness gracious. Can I go a couple more minutes? Okay. 15:22 should have started another chapter, but we have a new text here. 3 days journey. And so the party's over now, and we've had 3 days. And we come to Marah. And you all know that word from the Seder plate. And what does go in the Marah part of the Seder plate? Horseradish, bitter herbs. And so this is why you're not supposed to like horseradish, all you crazy people. Okay, so the party's over. And they come 3 days, and what happens? Now they are out of water, and the people complain, which is going to be the first of many times. And Moses cries out to the Lord, and watch this. Watch what happens. This is amazing. See, they're in this situation in Israel, or Israel is about to die a terrible death. They're in the desert, and they don't have any water. Now, I've been thirsty before, but has anybody come close to dying of thirst in the desert before? It is not the way you want to go, because your body starts shutting down and you get this headache and feverish feeling. You ache everywhere. You're sick, sick, sick as you go into utter dehydration. It's not the way you want to go. Okay, so anyway, here they are. Israel's been a nation 3 days. And the people are complaining because they are now all going to die of thirst. And so Moses cries out to God, and watch this though. What is God's answer to this? You gotta love your Bible. How is God going to answer Moshe about we're all going to die because we need water and this water is poison? You know what God does? You know what Hashem does? He shows Moshe a tree. We need water. And God shows him tree. There's a tree. Dig another ditch in forehead. Hello. This is so beautiful. This is the most beautiful thing in your whole Bible. God shows Moshe a tree. Not a branch, not a limb, not a stick. In Hebrew, it's eitz, which is the word, ha-eitz, is a tree. Shows him a tree. So Moshe says, exactly. And he takes the tree and throws it in the poison water. All Israel is standing there. We need water. Moshe's cutting tree. We need water. Moshe throws tree in water. Yeah, the fever got him. He's gone. Yeah. His mind is gone. People couldn't make this up. This is divine revelation. Only God could write a story like this. The tree hits the water and it becomes sweet. Tree in water, sweet.
Oh, Lord God.
Oh, man, drinkable water. So now let me show you. Now, you all know water represents life, especially when you're in the desert and after 3 days of not having any. The water of life, right? But without the tree, it's death. There's just death, right? So life comes by the tree. And let me show you here. Salvation comes by the tree. The first miracle of the nation of Israel as a nation is by a tree. Life by the tree, or can we say life by that tree that Yeshua was lifted up on? Life through the cross. Now, in this prophetic picture, Hashem makes a law. If you continue in the text there, he makes a law and a decree or a judgment for them, and it says that then he tested them. If you listen and obey, I will not put on you the disease I put on Egypt, for I am, and you have the famous word, Rofi, Rofeka, which is your healer. I am your healer. I am the Lord, your healer. The healer is in the context of the water of life made by the tree. Now, you know, in Isaiah 53, by his stripes we are healed. Again, Rofi. On that tree. So we begin with a tree for life. And how many times in Exodus will we see this as we go through? And the pattern of the Mishkan, which I go through in my book out there on the tabernacle, how many times do you see the same picture that we see right here? But this is the first time the picture comes through that we have this picture of Yeshua providing salvation or life, the water of life, by hanging on that tree. It is all through the book of Exodus, but it begins here. This then is the test for all mankind. Listen and obey with faith in the tree. Then you'll be healed and drink the water of life. Just as Moshe lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, right? On the tree. Cursed is he who hangs on a tree. Then they come to Elam. Elam here in the text. What verse is that? Verse 20, the last verse, 27. Then they come to Elam, which in the dictionary says means large trees. And then it says there's 12 springs there. And then it says there's 70 palm trees there. And whoa, what a loaded pair of numbers is that? 12 and 70. Is there a message in there somewhere? What do you think? Wow, healing by the tree. Now a place called Large Tree. And now 12. And then now 70. And 12 is for the water, the springs, and 70 is for the trees. Is there a message in here? 12 represents divine government, and 12 represents Israel. The 12 tribes. What does 70 represent, though? Does anybody know? It represents a future increase of a multitude. It represents something becoming a multitude. Genesis 46, 27, 70 of Jacob's family went to Egypt. We have the birth of Israel, and then we're going back to how it began. 70 members of Yaakov's Mishpacha went to Mitzrim, Egypt, and there they become a great nation, right? Exodus 1, 5 says, I'm going as fast as I can. You said I could. Okay, And it says, the descendants of Yaakov numbered 70 in all. Yosef was already in Egypt. Now Yosef and all of his brothers and all that generation died, but the Israelites were fruitful and multiplied greatly and became exceedingly numerous so that the land was filled with them. That's 70. It represents an increase. All right, so the 12 tribes come from the 70. All 12 tribes come from the 70. And now there are millions. Millions. But it's by the water. See, it says here, they camped by the water. Whoopee! And Yeshua is the water. Now 12 represents divine government. Israel was always a theocracy. You know what a theocracy is? It's a nation ruled by God, not by man. That's a theocracy, a nation of God ruled by God. In the coming kingdom now, let me tell you, the coming kingdom, this original 70, which means increase, will be the 12 tribes, millions living in the land. And the world will be ruled by a theocracy, represented by the number 12, divine government. And with King David will rule Israel and the world under the Messiah. Under, of course, Yeshua. Yeshua on the throne. Israel, so the divine rule of Mashiach. Chapter 15 then ends with this prophetic picture. This prophetic picture. After the salvation is shown by the tree, making the water sweet, and then being called the Lord that heals, then we see the very next verse having them camped at Elam near the water, and these two numbers, 12 and 70, picturing the millennium. Israel, the messianic kingdom, and the divine rule of God. 12 and 70 has not been fulfilled yet. So the last verse here of chapter 15 is still future. The prophetic picture of it is still future to us today. But apparently not very far future. And this is where you all said, Amen. And I will say Shabbat Shalom. Don't commit treason. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I tell you, the Bible, it blows my mind. But I don't know why the Holy Spirit just wanted me to mention another verse that Yochanan wept and wept because no one was worthy to open the scroll. And it is a time, it seems like, in the world today where the righteous people of God could be in that same emotion of weeping, because where everything seems locked up, and what we really need is for that angel to come and say, weep no more. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed, and he is worthy to open the scroll. Don't we need that moment to go from weeping to, as I was reading the paper this morning, where are you, God of Israel? Goodness gracious, where are you? And it won't be long. And the Lion of the tribe of Judah will be ruling this world in this theocracy. Oh, man. Yavarekach Adonai v'yishmerekach. Ye'ir Adonai panavaleka v'chunecha. Yisrael Adonai panavaleka. V'yoseim lecha shalom b'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Sar HaShalom. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.